Good evening. It is the first Sunday night of the month, and as has been our custom for many years now, we're going to do questions and answers tonight. And I did get a good Bible question in the box this past month, and so I'm going to look at that Bible question, and the way the question was worded could have been, the question could be construed in two different ways. And so this, I'm going to answer two questions from one question. And that's what we're going to do tonight as we think about this question that was put in the box. And speaking of the box, if you do have a Bible question that you would like to submit, there is a box in the foyer labeled suggestions. You may put your Bible questions in there, or you may put a sermon suggestion in there, or a Bible class topic suggestion in there. I love to receive those, and I love to read them and think about them. I'm very interested in the feedback, and it gives me some idea of what others are thinking about and considering. And some of the questions that have been put in there have been very difficult questions. And I've tried to answer those questions in a straightforward way from the Bible, which is what we need to do. Let the Bible speak in all matters. All right, so the question that was specifically written, and I want to talk a little bit about who wrote it. Not specifically who wrote it, but who wrote it. It was one of our young people, a very young person, not very old. And it shows, I believe, that our children are thinking about spiritual matters. And they're thinking about them a lot deeper than we think they're thinking about them, okay? Because this is a very deep question. Like I said, there's two ways it could be interpreted, and so I'm going to look at both of those ways. And the question was put like this: what purpose did God make us for? Okay? What purpose did God make us for? Now, initially, as I looked at this question, I thought about, well, what is our purpose? Okay? So, and that's one way I think it can be construed. That is, what purposes did God create for everything, for the creation? And that's one question. We're going to look at that question. But then the second way to construe this, what purpose did God make us for, I think could be understood as, why did God make us? Okay? So, and that's a little different question, I think. So let's think about these two questions. The first one, you know, what purpose did God make us for? And I'm understanding this in the sense of, what is my purpose? What is our purpose? What is the purpose of creation? That's how I'm thinking about it. And that is a great question. I love questions about purpose because they help us to answer the question, why? You know, why are we here? Why do we do what we do? Why am I who I am? These are all great questions that we need to answer from the Bible and that we need to internalize and let them motivate us toward behavior. So the Bible tells us that God has many purposes for us. There's not just one, all right? And we don't have, like, you know, sometimes preachers get up and say, our purpose is this, and then that's all they talk about is that one thing. But the Bible tells us there are many purposes. And God created the world with many purposes. And so the purpose that everything is created for is for glorifying God. So, for example, in Psalm 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork thereof. So God made the world. He made the animals. He made human beings. He made all these things, and they're designed to bring him glory ultimately. Okay? And I think that's something that we need to think more about, because whether we cooperate with God's purposes or not, they're still going to bring him glory. And we'll talk, the second way to construe this question is kind of more involved in that aspect of it. But the heavens declare the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, the Apostle Paul wrote this. He said, "Do all to the glory of God. Everything that we do should be done to God's glory." He was writing to Christians, and he was saying to Christians, you know, that we should glorify God in our life. That is, in an active way, in a straightforward way. Glorify God as a purpose, as an intention of ours. And so glorifying God is certainly something that is part of our purpose, but it's our purpose as a created thing. And I think mankind has a specific purpose for what God intends humanity to be specifically. But we're going to get into that in a minute. But before we do, look at Psalm 148. And this is a great psalm. It has so much to say about the world. And we have one of our songs in the songbook is based on Psalm 148. You know, praise the Lord is the song that we sing, and it talks about, you know, how all things praise God. But just look at this song, Psalm 148:1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heaven of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel, a people near to him. So praise the Lord. You know, all things were made to glorify God, and God made them that way. But then, of course, man went astray in committing sin. And as a result, not all men intentionally glorify God, but eventually they will come to glorify God. Every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, right? That's what Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2. So we have the overall purpose of glorifying God, and everyone's supposed to do that. Now, as humans, we have a specific purpose relative to being a human person, and that purpose is to love God and to love one another. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 and 5, there, this passage in the Old Testament is a very special passage, and it has a special name. It's called the Shema, and that's Hebrew for hear, because you're supposed to hear this. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." So we are supposed to love God. As human beings, we have kind of a twofold purpose as humans. And the first one is to love God. And then Leviticus 19 and verse 18 teaches that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, Jesus took those two commandments, and when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment? His answer was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And so everything depends on those two commandments. Doing those two things. And that's something that only humans can do. My dog, as great as he is, and as many people love Rocky, Rocky can't love the Lord, his God, with all his heart, soul, and mind. All right? Only a human can do that, you know. And he can't love his neighbor as he loves himself. You know, only a human can do that. And so this is reserved for human beings, a purpose specifically for being human. Love God and love your neighbor. So but Rocky can fulfill the idea of glorifying God as a created being, because God made Rocky, and Rocky does what God made him to do. He glorifies God in that sense. And we can look at Rocky and we can think about how such a good dog he is, or whatever, however you want to phrase that. It doesn't have to be a dog, you know, it can be anything. And say, well, God is so great in making animals like Rocky and others, and they come to glorify him in that way. But he can't love in that sense as human beings love, and he can't fulfill the purpose of human beings. So we have a very specific purpose as human beings, to love God and to love one another. Now, we also have a purpose as Christians, as members of the body of Christ, which is the church of Christ. And that purpose is to unite humanity in one body, and that is Christ's body. Think about what Jesus said in John 17, 20 through 21. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now think about everything that Jesus said there and how it all works together. We have to be one. Jesus and the Father were one. And now he brings this message to us. I want you to be one as I and the Father are one, united together. And then you take that unity and you go out into the world and you teach the gospel, that the world may believe that Jesus sent, or that the Father sent Jesus. And through believing that, that they may then be one with us and with him and with the Father. You see, so it all goes back toward unity in the body of Christ. And so as a Christian, this is my purpose, to participate in God's great purpose, his eternal purpose, he calls it in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. All right? Now, the Bible calls it God's eternal purpose from eternity. That's what he's trying to accomplish in Christ Jesus, the uniting of everyone in one body under the banner of Christ. And so God's eternal purpose for the church and for me is to participate in this great project that God has of uniting humanity in Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for all created things. He has a purpose for me as a human being. He has a purpose for me as a Christian, a member of the body of Christ. He also has a purpose for very specific things that I engage in while in this world. And there's a lot of them, and we're not going to list all of them, but I want to talk about a few important ones. First of all, God has a purpose for marriage. And by implication, he has a purpose for husbands and wives in marriage. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God told Adam and Eve, he said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and have dominion over all the creatures of the earth." And, you know, this notion that was commanded to Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, this is what marriage is about. And, you know, at that time, God had made Adam and Eve, and they were sinless. They were flawless. They had no sin in their life. That didn't happen until chapter 3, right? And so what they would have done, let's suppose, just hypothetically, let's say they never sinned, right? Hypothetically. What they would have done, they would have filled the world with godly children. Okay? Think about that for a minute. And so when we get to the end of the Old Testament, to the book of Malachi, and Malachi is rebuking the people of Israel for taking foreign wives that they shouldn't have been marrying, and then doing away with their legitimate wives for this purpose. And he says to them, no, don't do that. God hates divorce, and he wants you to be faithful to your spouse. And in that discussion, this is Malachi 2 and verse 15, in that discussion, God talks about the purpose, through Malachi, of marriage. And he said, did he not make them one? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. He wants godly offspring, okay? And so that's the purpose of marriage, to have godly offspring. And that's what the Bible teaches about that. So marriage has a purpose. And by implication, husbands and wives have a purpose in marriage as husbands and as wives. Children have a purpose, and that is to obey their parents. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3, the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So as a child, I need to obey my parents. That's my purpose as a child. What about as a parent? You fathers or parents, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. That's your purpose as a parent, to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what you're here for. And that goes back into the greater purpose of having godly seed, right? And then that goes back into the greater purpose of loving God and loving one another. And that goes into the greater purpose of uniting humanity in one body in Christ. So it all works together. But there are many purposes in the Bible. Now, God wants us to fulfill his purposes by living for him each and every day. And the way we do that is we study God's word, and then we apply God's word faithfully to our lives. And when we do that, we fulfill what God wants us to be. And ultimately, God wants every single person to grow into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Now listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And so God wants us to be conformed to the image of his son. And that's part of my purpose as well, to conform myself to that great image, which is the image of Jesus Christ. And so, what purpose did God make us for? Well, it depends on what aspect of life you're talking about. You know, it's God doesn't just have one, you know, sometimes people ask this question and say, what's my purpose in life? You know, like that. And they're looking for one thing. Well, it's not just one thing, you know, it's more than that. Our lives are multifaceted. They're like a diamond, you know. We have a core, but then we have many faces on our lives, like a diamond. And each one of those different faces has a different way of looking at it, right? And so as we participate in all of those things, we fulfill God's purposes for us. And there's not just one purpose, you know. When sometimes people want to know, well, what's my purpose in life? And they think, well, it's to accomplish some great deed or some great thing. That's not what God is looking for. He's looking for us to simply humble ourselves, have a great relationship with Him, to love Him and to love one another, build the church, be faithful husbands and wives, be faithful parents and children. Those are the greatest purposes that we can participate in. It's interesting, you know, C.S. Lewis wrote something about this years ago. And the question that he asked was, what is the greatest occupation? Okay. And then he started thinking about this and he said, you know, the coal miners, and this was back when coal mining was big business, you know. And the coal miners, why do they mine coal? He says, surely it is for the purpose of heating our homes so that we can have warmth, you know, in the wintertime. Why do the people in the construction industry do the things that they do? Surely it's for the purpose of building the house and all that. And it all went back to one thing. And he kind of reasoned about it so that it all brought it around to one thing. And he called this the ultimate occupation. Because all these other occupations went in to serving this one occupation. And what was it? He said, it was motherhood. And that's the ultimate occupation. Everything else goes into supporting that occupation. So, you know, it's not great deeds, it's not accomplishing great things, it's not that kind of thing. It's simply about being a humble servant of God. All right, so assuming that that's what the questioner meant, you know, what purposes did God make us for? That's the answer to that question. Now let's move on to the second way to construe this, and that would be, why did God create mankind? And that's a little bit different question. You know, what purpose did God make us for? Maybe you could understand that question in the sense of, well, why did God make us? Well, let's think about that. And I want to start off with kind of an analogy. And the analogy is simply this. Why do parents have children? You know? And putting aside all of the illegitimate reasons for that, which there are many, and I understand that that's complicated, but I think two human beings who love each other and who want to have a child with the best of motivations, they do so to demonstrate their love both to one another and to the child. And that ultimately that's what it's about. It's about taking care of a new human being, bringing a new human being into the world, and then being responsible for that human being as that human being grows and develops and becomes an adult. And so why do parents have children? And there's really only one legitimate answer to that question, and that is to show their love for one another and to show their love to another. Okay, and I think the answer as to the question, why did God create mankind, is similar to that. It's similar to that. And of course, there's some differences. You know, we have sometimes, well, not sometimes, but maybe all the time, we have our own selfish motivations for doing things, right? We do things because, you know, we want to get something out of it. And I don't think God operates like that. He's not like that. But he does do things for his own sake, that is because of his own character. And that's a little different than us because we don't have the kind of character, the kind of pure and holy character that God has. And so God's character is motivated out of his being, of who he is as a pure, holy, and sinless being. So one example is this, Isaiah 43 and verse 25, it says, and this is God speaking through Isaiah, he says this, he says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So sometimes God acts simply because he is God. And he acts that way, not out of selfishness, but based on the fact that his character is flawless, right? It's holy. And so he acts for that reason. And we don't do that. We don't act for our own sake. In that sense, we act for very selfish reasons sometimes. And so God, but God doesn't. He acts out of his own character. And so his basic goodness comes from his own character. He doesn't do what he does to receive a reward from anyone. You know, sometimes we think, well, if I do this, I'll get something out of it. That's not what God's motivation is. He doesn't get a reward. He already owns everything, so he doesn't really need anything in that perspective. He doesn't do it out of some kind of external need that he has to be attached to others. You know, sometimes people get married because they feel like they have a need for somebody else like that, you know. That's not why God acts. He is motivated only by his own holy character. And this goes into answering the question. I haven't quite got to it yet, but let's think about this a little bit more. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 26, look at what this says. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, you know, why did God redeem mankind? That's a good question to ask too. And that question is basically so that God could show himself to be just and the justifier. That he could be the one, because of who he is, to show his character, so to speak. And so the answer to why did God create mankind, I think, is similar in that regard. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and verse 8 says, for when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I think that's the answer to the question. Why did God create mankind? To demonstrate his love for humanity. And that's his motivation. That's his reason. And he demonstrates that love in a way that no one else could. Because he is pure and holy and sinless. And yet he was the one who offered his own son as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And that demonstrates, you see, what kind of character God has. It's not the kind of character that's out just to do things for selfish purposes. It's the kind of character that sacrifices and truly loves as we need to be loved. And so the only reason that I know that God created mankind was because he wanted to demonstrate his love and goodness toward all. And he must have thought that this was worth demonstrating because of who he is. And I think that's the answer to this question. Why did God create mankind? To show that he loves us and that he is who he is. And that goes back into the first question in the sense that it brings us back to glorifying God. And even those who ultimately do not accept God's offer of salvation through Christ will come to know and to glorify God for who he is, for the love that he showed humanity through Jesus Christ. And so these are great thoughts and great questions, and I'm glad that we had a young person put this question into the question box. The only thing that we need to consider at this point is, what are you doing in your life to fulfill God's purposes? And that's the question that I would like to leave you with this evening. As we think about going forward into this new year, as we think about loving each other as God has loved us and fulfilling his great purposes within our lives, how are we going to be the best human being that we can be this year? How are we going to be the best Christian that we can be, the best parent that we can be, the best child that we can be, and the best employee, the best student, however other way you want to frame that question? How can we be the best one of those that we can be? And the answer is simply this: by letting God's purposes live within us. It's not that we have sometimes we think of things like this, and I did this for many years, and I guess I have to plead guilty, you know, but sometimes we think, well, you know, I could do better in the sense that there were some things that I didn't do that I could have done, and therefore I didn't do the best that I could do. But I don't know that that's the right way to think about it. I think there's a better way to think about it. And the better way to think about it is, am I fulfilling God's purposes as I move my life forward as a human being, as a parent, as a husband, you know, or wife, as a spouse, whatever role you're in, are you fulfilling God's purposes? And if that's the answer, and the answer is yes, and I hope it is, then we are doing well, okay? And that's how we need to think about it. You know, we can nitpick ourselves to death, I think, with details that ultimately aren't going to matter very much about our lives. But what was our overall purpose, and how did we fulfill that? I think that's what God is going to be really interested in the day of judgment. So let's think about how we can do that. And if you haven't started doing that, then today's the day, you know. Let's begin right now. And if you're not a Christian, then you need to start getting God's purposes into your life and become a child of God through hearing his word and believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And we can help you with that this evening if that's what you need to do. And so whatever your need may be, you can come now and make it known while together we stand and while we sing.